says, now Naaman, everybody say Naaman. Naaman, captain of the host of the king of Syria, was a great man with his master and honorable, because by him, by Naaman, the Lord had given deliverance unto Syria. He was also a mighty man in valor. Let's just read that little bit again. He was a captain of the king of Syria. He was a great man with his master. He was honorable. He had won the victory for Syria, had given deliverance unto Syria. He also was a mighty man in valor. He was a man of war. But the last five words of that scripture says, but he was a leper. Everybody's got a but. But he was a leper. Verse 2 says, and the Syrians had gone out by companies and had brought away captive out of the land of Israel. The Syrians had taken captive from the land of Israel a little maid. Everybody say a little maid. And she waited on Naaman's wife. I want to speak today, kind of a strange topic, about two very important people that God had a tremendous purpose on their life. The man of Naaman and the little maid, we don't even know her name, who was taken captive out of Israel and served Naaman's wife. I want to preach on this title today, what's under your armor? What's under your armor? Heavenly Father, we love you today. We thank you for your word. We thank you for this great congregation today. We thank you for the two families that have brought their children to be dedicated, and we rejoice. But right now, Lord, as we turn to your word, Lord, we need your word to search our hearts. Lord, help us not to be here in vain today, but God, we know, Lord, that you want to speak to our hearts. Lord, you want to pry open those secret cavities and the secret boxes of our life, and you want to do a work in us. Lord, you are our healer, and your word will not return void. Let your word heal our hearts today as we respond. We pray this in Jesus' name, and everybody say amen. You may be seated in the house of God. What's under your armor? What's under your armor? You see, there's not a person here today that can escape problems. Is there anybody here today that would be willing to throw their hand up and say, I've managed to make it all the way through my life without a single problem? Is there anybody here today? Maybe some of our little children, maybe. Maybe not. But there's not a single person here today that can escape problems. Rich or poor, everybody has problems. The rich often, when they're driving to work in their nice car to their big high-paying job, very often they'll drive past somebody working on the roadworks or somebody digging a hole, and that rich guy drives past him and thinks, you know, I would give anything just to have a job like that. Something nice and simple, just standing out in the sun. And so the guy that's digging the hole, standing in the sun, he looks at the rich guy on his way to his nice office in a flash car. He says, oh man, I wish I could be like that. You see, there's not a single person here today that can escape problems. Rich or poor, everybody has problems. You see, even the people who are living the life that you wish you could live, they also have problems. The person that you hate, and you shouldn't hate. The person you're jealous of, they also have problems. People may not be going through exactly what you're going through, but I've come to tell you today that everybody has problems. Married people have problems. You see, single people look at married people and say, you know what, when I get married, all my problems will be over. It'll all be easy. And then married people look at single people and think, oh my goodness, if I could go back to being single. Married people have problems. Single people have problems. Skinny people are trying to put on weight, and big people are trying to put the weight off. Everybody has problems. And so in our text, we read about Naaman. You see, some of us have to stop rebuking our problems and trying to get our problems out of life and realize that problems are common to life. And we need to say, God, if you're going to allow me to go through this, if you're going to allow this to happen to me, then what is the purpose of the problem that I'm experiencing? And so our text in 2 Kings chapter 5 is about a soldier. But not just a soldier, a captain of the host. A mighty man of valor. It tells us that he was a mighty man. He was well respected. He was revered. But in this scripture that we just read, we are brought into a secret chamber of the life of Naaman. The secret chamber of a man named Naaman who on the outside was so accomplished and on the outside was so successful and on the outside was so strong. On the outside he was revered by his friends and his peers. But behind his armor, he was a leper, a very big man. We can see what Naaman looks like in this scripture. As it tells us how big and how great he was. And then it tells us what he's like without his armor on. You see, the main symptom of leprosy is the disfiguring of his skin. The sores, the lumps, the bumps that do not go away. But even worse than the sores and the lumps and the bumps of leprosy was the smell of leprosy. As he would walk down the street with his armor on, a mighty man of valor, everybody would look to him and say, you know, that's a great man. That's a successful man. That's a revered man. Look at him. Look how strong he is. He's won battles for Syria. But all along he knew, because he was reminded maybe the armor was covering up the sores, but he could still smell the stench of the rotting skin. You see, Naaman was highly respected, throw the next slide up, and revered. Everyone looked up to him, but under the armor, the skin was rotting. Under the armor, there was a smell of rotting flesh. Under the armor was leprosy. I wonder who you are when you haven't got your armor on. I wonder who you really are when you don't have your armor on. What are you like when you take your armor off? Naaman was covered with his armor, but he would come home and he'd have to take that armor off. He had climbed to the top using his sword. He was a captain of the host. He had power. He was a boss. He had used his sword. He had earned respect. He had paid his dues. He had been on battlefields and won massive battles. He had arrived. Everybody say arrived. He had made it there. He was there. Only to find out that there was not as good as he expected. He had favor with the king of Syria. The king of Syria was indebted to Naaman. Because the Bible says that the Lord had given deliverance unto Syria through Naaman. Many scholars believe that it was Naaman's arrow that struck Ahab in the battle against Israel. It was that arrow that he fired that won the battle and it propelled his career. And so now Naaman is the captain of the hosts. Through him, Syria had been set free. He was known for his fighting skills. He was known for being a man's man. But deep down under the armor, he was a leper. Under that armor, everybody else saw the greatness of a man. But deep down, he had a secret problem. On the outside, he was idolized, respected. He had girls chasing him, I'm sure. But under the armor, he was a leper. A very probing question today, men and women. Beneath all the tapestry of your life, between what you can portray to the outside world, between what you can portray to everybody else that's around you, maybe even your family, what is under your armor? I've learned in life that people are always not what they seem to be on the outside. That some of the strongest people on the outside can be struggling with the deepest hurts on the inside, that feeling of incompleteness. The feeling of there must be more to life than this. Or the feeling of I just can't keep going on like I'm going. That feeling of constantly chasing fulfillment and never really finding it.
The feeling of turning the, you know, you go to work and everybody's singing your praises, and you do something and all your mates are patting on you on the back and everybody else is telling you how good you are, and you turn the light off at night and you're left there looking at the ceiling with the person that you know you are. Just laying there, feeling like that you everybody thinks that you've made it there, but you're like, well, I've made it there, but there is not what I thought it would be. You see, maybe you're here today and everything looks good. Maybe you're here today and everybody thinks you're a great person and your life's all together, and you know, you drive a nice car, you got a nice house, you got money in your pocket, but underneath there's issues in your life. The world saw Naaman. They saw him as a man of power, but at home he was a man with no power. The world saw him as great, but at home he was far from great. The world saw the best of times, but at home, when Naaman would walk in that door, it was the worst of times. The world saw Naaman as the captain of the host of the king of Syria at the pinnacle of his career. He says, the world sees me at the pinnacle of my career, but at home, I'm just a wounded man. You see, Naaman had to come home to deal with what was under his armor. Behind closed doors, he'd take that armor off and he would realize that he was a leper. You see, in all of us here today, we can go out into the world and we can have our social media profiles and we can portray something to the world. But when we get home, behold, behind closed doors, what's under your armor? Naaman had to deal with that, and so do we. Nobody else knew about what he had to deal with. Naaman can slay thousands of men in a battle, but cannot conquer his own flesh. We can all discover that deep down there are things that just aren't what they seem to be. He was a leper. No hospitals, no antibiotics, no benefits of medication. He was a leper with no hope of a cure, no comfort. He's thinking to himself, throw that next slide up, how can I be so mighty that I can fight an army? How can I be so mighty that I can change the direction of a nation? How can I be so mighty that I make it to the pinnacle of a military career, yet I cannot fix myself? I've come to tell you today, you cannot fix yourself. You see, his sword had brought victory to the Syrians. He had liberated them. He was like a Mandela. He was like a Martin Luther King, a mighty man of valor. But he was, the Bible says, a leper. You see, leprosy was horrible. It was horrible enough just to have the disease. But it was even more horrible when you think about the stress of having it and trying to hide it all the time. I mean, it was one thing to have the sickness and to have the sores and to have the stench, but it was a whole nother thing to be going through life trying to hide it. A disease that would eat your muscle tissues, the pieces that would fall off your body, the smell of rotting flesh. You see, up until now, nobody knew. Only when he got home at night, he would walk into the house, and beneath that shiny armor, everyone say shiny armor, beneath that shiny armor, beneath those brass boots, he would take it off, he'd look at himself in the mirror, and he would say to himself, I am as vulnerable as the people that I lead. I am a leper. You see, it was at home where he reveals his vulnerability. In the presence of a little servant girl, a maid. A little girl whom he stole from Israel in the victory of battle. He went in and took her. Some even say that that was the reason why Naaman was afflicted with leprosy, because of what he did in taking that little maid. He didn't mind if the little maid saw his leprosy. She was a nobody. The girl was nothing to him. She was just a slave snatched from her home and snatched from her family. She was an immigrant. She was just a poor person that was snatched from a foreign land. And Naaman has a problem and he doesn't care if she sees it. She's a nobody. In her own little way, think about it today, that little maid had more power than Naaman. Think about it. Naaman looked down on her as a nobody, as a slave, but she had more power than Naaman. You see, Naaman had become great because of what he did, but that little maid was great because of who she knew, because of who she knew. She knew somebody who could bring about Naaman's healing. You see, this little maid, think about it. Think, put yourself in her situation. She had every right to be bitter. She was snatched away from her family. She was snatched away from her culture. She was snatched away from her friends. And now she's a slave. She had every right to not tell Naaman about how he could be cured and just to let that man rot. The little maid. The life of Naaman now, that great man, that mighty man of valor, that man who had won the victory for Syria, that man Naaman, the life of Naaman is now in the hands of a woman, a little maid. You see, she was little on the outside, but she was big on the inside. Whereas Naaman was big on the outside, he was little on the inside. You see, God had allowed Naaman to take captive the very one. He took captive the very one who had the cure for his crisis. You see, her problem was serving a purpose. Naaman's problem was also serving a purpose. And I've come to tell you today, wherever you are, the problem that you face serves a purpose. You see, Paul, he had a thorn in his side. We don't know exactly what that thorn was, but he, in the end, he never wanted to get rid of it. He says that problem serves a purpose. We know the scripture says that all things work together for good to them that love God and are called according to his purpose. It does not say that all things are good, but when you put it all things work together for good. And so Naaman and the little maid, they are both held captive by something. Naaman's held captive by his leprosy, and this little maid is held captive by the man who took her out of her country. She's looking at him. Think about it. The little maid is looking at Naaman saying, if only I could be like you. And Naaman's looking at the little maid and saying, if only I could be like you. Now the little maid is standing there. She sees the leprosy. She has a decision to make. Will I help the man that holds me captive? You see, there's a very important lesson to learn right here, this little maid. Because until you learn to be merciful, you will never be mighty. Your greatest test in life will be how to treat those people that you don't like. Until you can learn to be merciful, you will never be mighty. And so that little maid is there taken captive. She had every reason to let Naaman rot. And she decided to help Naaman. It says in 2 Kings 5 verse 3 and 4. Throw it on the screen. And she said unto her mistress. She's a servant in the house. She said, would God my Lord were with the prophet that is in Samaria. There is a prophet. For he would recover him of leprosy. I know a prophet in Israel that could heal Naaman of his leprosy. And one went in and told his Lord, saying, thus and thus said the maid that is in that is of the land of Israel. So she went into her husband and said, hey, Naaman, the little maid is telling me that there's somebody in Israel. You know that country that you conquered? You know that country where you stole the little maid from? There is somebody in Israel that can cure you of your leprosy. She says, there is a prophet in Israel, and if you went to him, you would be set free. Uh-oh. Can you imagine how Naaman's feeling? He's going, Israel, those people, I conquered them. We hate that country. You're telling me I have to be willing to go back into the country that I already conquered? You're telling me that I have to go back and deal with the people that I once was killing? Are you telling me that one of the people in Israel has a cure for my leprosy? And I guess his wife's saying, well, Naaman, how bad do you want it? How strong is your pride, Naaman? Are you going to be so proud that you're just going to let this leprosy kill you? And he's saying, and what more? It's this little maid that I have no respect for. She's coming up with the cure. You see, Naaman was big on the outside and little on the inside. This little maid was little on the outside, but she was big on the inside. Naaman says, am I going to have to go back to Israel? Am I going to have to leave Syria where I'm loved? And I'm have to go somewhere where I'm hated? He says, okay, I don't know if I want to do this, but I'm going to go talk to the king of Syria. my boss. And it said this in verse 5 of 2 Kings chapter 5. I hope you're following it along with me. And the king of Syria said, go, and I will send a letter unto the king of Israel. Let the two kings talk. And he departed and took with him 10 talents of silver and 6,000 pieces of gold and 10 changes of raiment. And he brought a letter to the king of Israel saying, now when this letter is come unto you, when you receive this letter, behold, I have therewith sent Naaman my servant to thee. So along with this letter is this man named Naaman, that you may recover him of leprosy. Now this is the king of Israel. He's got a letter and it says, the guy that's carrying this letter, Naaman, when he comes to you, I want you to recover him of leprosy. This is the king. And the king's thinking, huh? Am I a doctor? Am I a prophet? Look at this. And it came to pass when the king of Israel had read the letter that he rent his clothes. He was so angry. He's like, here are these stinking Syrians who had just defeated us in battle, wiped out our people. Now the guy that fired the arrow, Naaman, is come back and he's wanting me to somehow provide for his healing. The Bible says he rent his clothes. He was so mad. Am I God to kill and to make alive that this man doth sent unto me to recover of this man's leprosy? Wherefore, consider, I pray you, and see how he seeketh the quarrel against me. He says, I think he's making fun of us. I think he just wants a fight. Why on earth does he come again seeking something to heal him of this leprosy? Let me say something in the spirit realm. Let me tell you that your healing is in your humility. Your healing is in your humility. You see, Naaman had to take the advice of the little maid. He had to go down to the country that he thought was beneath him. Naaman is trying to go up. He's trying to get the kings to talk to each other when God is trying to take him down. You see, the way out of your problem may not be the direction that you thought. That you think that the way out of your problem is this way and that way and this pathway and that way, but the way out of your problem, the way to your cure, the way to get through those things that are eating you up may not be the way that you think it is. He says, I'm going to go see the king. I'm going to go see the princes. But God sends him, but God sends and puts healing amongst prophets and maids. He's got everything. He's got everything. He's a mighty man of valor. He's got armor. He's got the brass boots. He's got prestige. He's got standing in society. But let me tell you, everything on the external is no good to you when you've got leprosy. And I know as I was preparing this message that God is speaking to someone in this house today. You've come here. You kind of knew God was going to speak to you today already. And so I'm here to tell you today that, yeah, everybody else around you would never suspect what's going on in your mind, what's going on in your life. Nobody else would know. In fact, everybody else thinks you're a mighty man, you're a mighty woman, that you've got everything happening, that you've reached the pinnacle, that you've made it there. But when you turn off the light at night, when you go into your room and, as it were, you take your armor off, it all becomes bare and you realize, you know what? I don't care what people think about me. I got to do something about what's going on in my life right now. I ask you today, what's under your armor? You see, we're very good at putting armor on. We walk out the door, chest is out. In fact, our armor is so strong when people ask us how we're going, everybody just says, great, good. I mean, you can walk out of the worst situation. You can have all this mess going on in your life and you'll see somebody. They'll say, how are you today? You say, I'm great. Well, deep down, you're not great. You see, what is it that's under your armor? I want to tell you today, and I'm just a preacher, but God wants to set you free. But you've got to be willing to humble yourself before God. You see, your healing is in your humility. David said it like this. He said, it is good for me that I have been afflicted. it is good for me that I have been afflicted, that I might learn thy statutes. He said, God, you know, it's good that I was afflicted. It's good that I had to go through this mess. It's good that I had to go through all these trials. Because you know what, God? When I think about it, I didn't like those trials. I didn't like that mess. But if it wasn't for those things, I would have known your word, God. I would have got my healing. And so it was the door of humility that led him to his healing. The power of humility is all the way through the Bible. The Bible says in 2 Chronicles, it says, if my people will humble themselves and pray. Humility, the power of humility. The Bible says if we humble ourselves, God will lift us up. In fact, Jesus Christ himself was God humbling himself. Taking on the form of a man. God putting on flesh. You see, if God is going to do something in your life today, I want to tell you that you need to humble yourself. How do you teach a soldier? I was thinking about this. How do you teach a soldier to submit? How do you teach a soldier to humble himself? How do you teach a soldier to listen to a little maid? You see, there are some problems that will bring you to your knees. There are some problems, and there's some people today that have faced those problems that have brought you to the knees. But when I tell you, when God brings you to your knees, that's exactly where God wants you. Because your healing comes through humility. If you're on your knees, if you feel like you're at your lowest place, that's exactly where God wants you, because it's all upwards from there. Your healing is in your humility. So maybe you're here today and you're not a Christian. I believe God wants to speak to you today. That emptiness you feel, the feelings of hopelessness. I want to tell you today that God has brought you to this place. Using this preacher who doesn't even know you today, that God is drawing you into a relationship with him. That God, that all of us were created, somebody once said the story, that all of us were created with a void inside of our heart. And we go around and we try to stuff it full of stuff because we feel empty. We try to put money in there. We try to put relationships in there. We think, well, if I can just get a better job and put that in there. But nothing seems to satisfy. In fact, you too wrote the song. And I believe maybe it was speaking about God. They were chasing everything in the world, and the song simply said, and I still haven't found what I'm looking for. I want to tell you that Jesus is the answer today. You've got to come into relationship with God. You've got to really be willing to humble yourself, and God can cure you of that leprosy. What is it that's under your armor? Maybe you are a Christian today. Christians are some of the greatest people at putting on armor. Sunday morning, it's armor day. We go and get our best piece of armor, a suit, make us look all holy, make us look like we haven't got a problem in the world. We walk to the bathroom, we brush those teeth because we're going to be smiling big today. God is good. But maybe you're a Christian here today and you've been walking with God a long time and you come to church and everybody thinks you're a mighty man. Everybody thinks you're a mighty woman, a woman of valor. But under the armor, there's some stinking flesh. Under that armor, you've got to put up with that smell of the stuff that's going on in your life. Are you willing to surrender to Jesus? Are you willing to humble yourself so that you can get healing and so that you can get victory over those things in your life? And so Naaman, being a man, being a mighty man, he goes to the king. Says, be like me, we only deal with the king. We go straight to the top. We deal with the boss. We deal with important people. Look at this. 2 Kings chapter 5 and verse 9. Throw it on the screen. And Naaman came with horses. He went to the king. The king turns to the prophet. Down from Syria, he's told to go to Israel. Down from the palace to the prophet's house. And the prophet won't even come to the door. Look at this. 2 Kings 5, 9 and 10. It says, so Naaman came with his horses. There he gets on that chariot. He gets all the horses. What an important guy. Everybody's looking. Here comes that guy, that mighty man of valor, the guy that won the victory for Syria. He rides on into Israel. I'm sure everybody's like, hey, here he comes. Here's the guy that won the battle for them. He rides in with his chariot and his horses, and he stood at the door of the prophet. He's already had to humble himself enough. He went to the king. The king sent him to the prophet. He goes, go to the preacher. He's like, a preacher? I deal with kings and princes. Preachers? Turns up at the door of the preacher's house. He turns up the door of Elisha, and Elisha sent a messenger unto him. Elisha surely would have heard that he was coming. Everybody would have been talking about it. Here comes Naaman. He's in his chariot. He's got all the horses. There's a big group of them all coming with him, a big posse. They're all rocked up at Elisha's house. And Elisha's sitting inside. He goes, hey, servant, go talk to him. Naaman's standing there in his chariot. He's like, where's Elisha? I've come to see Elisha. I come to see that man of God. Who are you anyway? With your work clothes on? You look like you've been mowing the lawns. Where's the boss? He's busy. He don't want to see you. He sent me to come and find out what's wrong. What's more, you're not just talking to the servant, but now the servant starts telling him what to do. Let me tell you, you're not ready for a healing until you're ready to humble yourself before God. Naaman, you thought you'd humbled yourself enough by going from a king and a prince. And now you thought you'd humbled yourself enough by talking to a preacher. But now you're talking to another little maid. And the little maid in his house told him what to do. Now it's a little servant who's telling him what to do. He says, go and wash in the Jordan 7 times, and thy flesh shall come again to thee, and thou shalt be clean. Elisha sent his servant. He's gone down from Syria to Israel. He's gone from the president of Israel to the prophet. He's gone down from down. Everyone say down. He's gone from the prophet down to the servant. And now the servant is telling him to go down to the rivers of Israel. You pick up the story in verse 11. It says, but Naaman was wroth. What? And he went away. He says, I thought. Everybody say, I thought. So what you think? You're a leper. I mean, it's like going to a doctor and the doctor says, this is how you can get better. You say, well, excuse me, Mr. Doctor. Well, I thought, and the doctor's looking at you saying, who are you anyway? I don't see no DR in front of your name. You're just a MR. He says, I thought that the prophet would come out to me. I thought, first of all, that he would at least come and talk to me. I thought he would come and stand, and I thought that he would do something great like call on the name of the Lord, and that he would strike his hand over the place, and that suddenly I would be better. I thought that there was a quick way to do this. I thought that it could be some grand show of the prophet. And then he says, and I thought that Abana and Pharpha, rivers of Damascus, there are better rivers. I mean, go down, dip in the Queen Bean River. You're like, oh, well, you know, even Lake Billy Griffin would be better than the Queen Bean River. Or what about the Murrumbidgee? Or even the Thredbo? The Thredbo River's beautiful, crystal clear. Maybe I could go dip in there. He says, are not Abana and Pharpar, rivers of Damascus, better than all the waters of Israel? There's no good water to go dipping in Israel. I could think of a lot better places to go dip myself 7 times. May I not wash in them? Hey, come on, Naaman, you got leprosy. You got a problem. You're not willing to humble yourself. He says, may I not wash in them and be clean? So he turned away and he went away in a rage. Everybody say a rage. If you're willing to go down low enough, God can bring the healing to that issue in your life. You see, the quickest way up is the way down. It's to go down, to go down. You see, even in the Bible, it's when the seed dies and it goes down into the soil. You see, the seed has to fall into the soil. First of all, the seed has to die. Second of all, the seed has to fall. Vulnerability, humility. It's got to go down into the soil before new life can come up. Jesus said himself, if you exalt yourself, I will humble you. But if you will humble yourself, I will exalt you. Naaman, when he is told to go and dip in the water, you know what he said? Forget it. I'm not willing to humble myself like that. I'm not willing to do that. Imagine all the people that would see me. I've kept up this show. Everybody thinks I'm a mighty man. I've already humbled myself enough. You know, I'm in church. That's humbling enough. Maybe you're here today and you think, you know what? At least I came to church. Can I get more humble than that? Yes, of course you can. You're only in church. He would have walked away, but one of his servants. How many people are thankful for somebody in your life that said, hey, don't walk away yet. Come on. Is anybody thankful for somebody that reached out to them and said, don't walk away? God's got the answer. You can be healed. Look at this. Verse 13 says, and one of his servants came near. Who's speaking to him again? First of all, it's a maid. Then it's a servant. Now it's another servant. Having the guts to talk to this big high flyer. And another servant came near and spake to him and said, my father, out of respect, he calls him father. If the prophet had told you to do some great thing, if the prophet had asked you for $1 million, you would have given it. If the prophet had asked you to go and to give up your house and give up your land, you would have done it. You would have done it. You would have done some great thing. How much rather then? All you've been told to do is humble yourself, to dip in the water and you'll be clean. Then he went down, look at this, and he dipped himself 7 times in Jordan, according to the saying of the man of God, and his flesh came again, like unto the flesh of a little child, and he was clean. You see, a relationship with God begins with repentance. Everybody say repentance. Repentance is being humble enough to say, I have been walking in the wrong direction my whole life. I've been serving my own desires. I've been trying to do my own thing. But it's brought me nowhere. Under my armor. Yeah, people think that I got it all together. But under my armor. And I can still smell that smell. Under my armor, I got leprosy. Repentance is turning to God saying, I'm sick of living that life. And repentance literally means to turn around and start walking in the other direction. Is there somebody here today that is willing to turn to Jesus and say, God, I want to start walking in your ways? You see, he's humble enough, he goes down to the muddy waters. Everyone say the muddy waters. I find it very interesting, and I could probably preach on this. He has to go into the dirt to be cleaned. You've also got to go into the dirt and be buried like a seed if you want to raise the new life. Oh, but it didn't make sense. It was all, Naaman says, oh, it doesn't make sense. All this repentance stuff, all this humility stuff. He says, it's all just muddy water. Muddy water. Let me tell you, it may not make sense to you. It may just be all muddy water to you. But the most important thing in your life is to be obedient to God. Ask yourself today, what is God trying to say to me? There can be a breakthrough in your life if you would just listen to what God is saying to you today. There can be a blessing unlocked in your life if you will hearken unto the voice of the Lord. You read about the disciples. They were out in the water and they've been fishing all day. They'd been fishing all day. They were tired, and anybody who likes fishing knows that salt water and sun can make you really tired. So they're back there. They got their nets on the side of the water, and they're cleaning it all up, pulling out all the shells, tying up all the little bits that are broken. And Jesus walks again. He says, how much you caught? They say, we got nothing. He says, all right, go out again. Just out there. Throw your net in again. They're like, Jesus, we already done that. He says, go. You know what they said? Nevertheless, at thy word. They went out there. They were obedient to the word of God. And the Bible says that they threw out their net and it was full of fish. Why were they blessed? Because they were obedient to the word of God. That is the most important thing. Naaman couldn't believe that he was being asked to dip in the water. He says, but he went there and he was obedient. He says, it's all muddy water to me. It doesn't make sense. But he was obedient. He says, I don't understand. Surely there's a nicer way. Surely there's an easier way. Surely I'm not ready to humble myself like that. Listen to what Naaman says. He said, I thought, I expected, why shouldn't I? You see, sometimes, and listen very carefully, sometimes there is muddy water between you and what God wants to do in your life. The truth is, he was a leper. And just like Naaman, you have two choices today. You can ignore it and you can keep on living with that issue under your armor. You can try to cope and learn to live with your leprosy, or you can obey the word of God and be cured. Leprosy in the Bible is a type of sin. If there's sin in your life, you know, everybody else can look at you and think, man, what a great person. But if there's sin in your life, you're separated from God and you need to come to Jesus. He can forgive you of your sins. Repent of your sins. And the Bible says, isn't it amazing how Naaman had to be healed of leprosy? He had to dip in the water. And the same for us to be have our sins washed away. We've also got to go down into the waters. 2 Kings 5:14, we just read it. Then he went down and he dipped himself 7 times in Jordan, according to the saying of the man of God. And his flesh came again like unto the flesh of a little child, and he was clean. 1 dip, 2 dips, 3 dips, 4 dips. I'm being obedient to God. 5 dips, 6 dips. And out of the water on the 7th time, the Bible says he is healed. His flesh is like a little child. He was clean. And you know what? This is it, right here today. We had baby dedication today. He realizes that his problem is serving a purpose. The little maid's problem served a purpose. She was taken captive from Israel. But Syria, they were idol worshippers. They didn't know God. So the little maid, she was taken captive. It wasn't very nice, but her pain served a purpose. And here is Naaman. He's got a disease. He's got leprosy. And his problem is also serving a purpose. He comes up out of the water. He's clean. And you know what he says? He says, I can't stop here. You see, the whole thing, listen carefully today. The whole thing, it was never about Naaman getting healed in the first place. It was never about Naaman getting healed. God had a greater purpose than that. You see, the Syrians were idol worshippers. They didn't believe in the one true God. So God took somebody from Syria who everyone respected. God made him sick, and only the God of Israel could heal him. And Naaman said, you know what? I've got to serve the God that delivered me. God has healed me, and now I'm going to serve him. But God wasn't finished yet. Naaman was healed. Naaman is now serving God. And now Naaman, read it for yourself, sends another letter. He sends 2 oxen to offer up in Syria unto the God of Israel. He went back to Syria, and he built an altar, and he worshiped God in Syria. Salvation came to Syria because of the leprosy and the healing of Naaman. All of a sudden, the Syrians are hearing about God because of what God did in Naaman's life. If you were to let God do something about your leprosy, if you would let God deal with the things that are under your armor, let me tell you, that blessing can flow on in your family. The things that you're struggled with. You know, they say alcoholism has to stay in the family. Let me tell you, alcoholism doesn't have to stay in the family. That curse is broken when you come to Jesus. You can be delivered from your sin. Drug addiction, depression, it doesn't have to stay in the family, because when you're baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, you take on the name of Jesus Christ. You may come in blood from one family, but when you're baptized in the name of Jesus, you become part of a new family. You become part of the family of God, and that's the line, that family line where the blessing comes from, where the healing comes from. And those blessings can flow onto your family. And through the healing of Naaman, the whole nation of Israel turned to the one true God. It was never about his healing in the first place. It was about the salvation of a nation. Let's all stand in this place today if the musicians could come. Maybe one of the scariest questions you could be asked in the house of God. You came to church today and you said, well, I'll just come to church, I'll sit. Hopefully that guy out there in that suit says something interesting. Then you came to church and the preacher asked you, what's under your armor? You're like, I'm not ready. I'm not ready to start talking about what's under my armor. But you're here on purpose today. God has a purpose. God had a purpose in Naaman. God had a purpose in that little maid. God also had a purpose of you being here today. We're all so good walking around with our armor on, showing everybody how strong we are. But we all know the smell of the issues, the pain, the wounds that are under our armor. And I want to tell you today, God wants to deal with that. Are you willing to humble yourself to God? Say, God, I turn to you. I want to give you my life. Let's just shut our eyes in this place right now. Lord Jesus, we love you. We thank you, Lord, for speaking to us today, God. We thank you, Lord, for this story about Naaman, oh God. A mighty man on the outside, but he was a leper. And Lord God, we can relate so much to this story, oh God, because we also, Lord, get caught up in the ways of the world, trying to show everybody how strong we are, when really, God, Lord, you want us to be closer to you. You're drawing us into relationship with you. So Lord, help us to be humble enough, Lord God, to turn from our wicked ways, to turn from our sinful ways, to turn from our own ambition and our own ways, oh God, and at what we want to accomplish and the way we want to walk, oh God. Because, Lord, we know that healing and true fulfillment in life does not come in the direction that this world tells us to walk, but it comes in a relationship with you. We love you, Jesus.